I'd never sung before.
Had you not sung?
Never sung before.
I was in the choir when I was at school, like before I was maybe 11 or something, for a year or so, but just as every school child, and then never sung since.
I had to do a solo at the Royal Welsh. Obviously, Simon asked me to do a solo, but I just didn't know how I was going to react. You don't know if you get up in front of 10,000 people whether anything's even going to come out, whether you forget the words.
Even the other day,
last week rehearsing, like we were all opening up to each other, and you know, like it's a real thing. Like, and also
genuinely being a lifesaver to some people in the
100%.
Choir. That's what became apparent.
The truth is that the reason we called the Hawksden Farmers Choir is because of the support that Jeremy and Hawksden have given us.
He's done so much. And we feel, as farming industry, he has represented us perfectly. My name's Katrina Shell. We are part of the Hawksden Farmers Choir.
I'm Ben Brook. I'm a part of the Hawksden Farmers Choir, and I'm a fourth generation Alba farmer in Cambridgeshire.
Yeah. Simon Gwilliam, musical director, songwriter.
We are sat outside the main Studio One of Real World Recording Studios in Box, which is a world famous recording studio. The list of what that building over there has been involved in is remarkable. We're having lunch in the gorgeous sunshine out here. And you this year have made history by being the first choir to win Britain's Got Talent. Yeah. You can hear how many members of the choir around us?
There's about 40.
About 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. You won £250,000 in prize money, and you're here to record an album of your material. Let's just begin with how you guys got involved in the choir in the first place, and where that story begins.
So we were put together for an advert for Jeremy Clarkson's beer, Hawksden. You could apply to be an extra, or you could apply to be one of the main singers. And I think I applied to be an extra because obviously I'd never sung before. But you, I think the original plan, Simon, was to use the 10 singers and then use the sound from that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And you had to be a farmer.
You had to be a farmer to apply, so I recorded.
Linked to agriculture.
Yes.
Linked to agriculture in some way.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so I recorded myself, talking to my arable ties, and then as soon as I had to sing, I just sent my wife upstairs because I really didn't want her to hear me sing. We turned up on the day, and it's just evolved into this, isn't it? It's been absolutely unbelievable.
He's got a very good voice. He puts himself down, but he's got a very good voice.
I'd never sung before.
Had you not sung?
Never sung before. Like, I'd obviously sung to my daughter, but the first time we turned up, and I was near on miming because I was so scared, to be honest.
And Katrina's the same. You haven't really done
No,
much
I've never sung. No. I was in the choir when I was at school, like before I was maybe 11 or something, for a year or so, but just as every school child, and then never sung since. And I never thought I would sing because I just didn't think I would be good enough. Still, my friends, I think I mime.
I went to a wedding and just refused to sing. There's so much pressure nowadays. They're like weddings anymore.
That's the problem, christening. So, like, go on, you sing. Yeah, I don't like it. I still get embarrassed. I feel but part of the choir, you don't feel like that. It's like a team sport. You feel.
But the journey with everybody here is that it's galvanised people that you didn't know from the farming community, and found that singing is presumably there's the big mental health link to it. What has being part of a fraternity of people that you didn't know before meant? What's it created?
So I think to start with, obviously it was just put together for some silly commercials, and soon became apparent that personally for ourselves it was an incredible lot more. It was the conversations we were having with one another are conversations that some of us have never ever spoken words of those to anybody else before. Yeah. And it became really apparent that
the things you share,
even the other day, last week rehearsing, like we were all opening up to each other, and you know, like it's a real thing. Like, and also
genuinely being a lifesaver to some people in the
100%.
Choir, and that's what became apparent. And that's
in this choir
yeah,
here,
genuinely,
because we hear about farming and farmers being on the edge a lot of the time, and we've got two droughts going on now in the country. Things can't be that easy out there.
I mean, there's obviously weather pressures, but you know, it's just super isolating as well. Not people, like, you know, people aren't lucky enough to have people to work with. And yeah, it can be a very, very lonely industry to work in.
And
yeah,
a very tiring one. It's not a 9-to-5 job, regardless of whether you're physically in the tractor or you're the one supporting them. My husband is, you would class it as inverted commas, the farmer.
Right.
And I would be, I suppose, in the traditional sense, the farmer's wife. But that doesn't encompass everything that both of us do. Like, it's a very... It's very dated, the role. It hasn't really changed in a lot of respects from 50, 100 years ago. But then it also has, because especially women in agriculture, they're expected to still continue these traditional roles of looking after the house, the children, the farmer, in inverted commas, the food, the everything. But then you're also expected to be a successful career and businesswoman or make... Farming doesn't bring money in, so you have to diversify.
Yeah.
So who does that? They don't have time to be farming as well as diversifying. And I just think the whole sector... is in quite a harsh place at the moment for many reasons.
I think it's just shining a light in the industry, though. We don't want to be too political about everything, but, you know, shining a light on what we love and talking about the struggles is probably positive, and provoking these conversations is important. There's so many different people in this choir, from, you know, like 72 to 28, I think the youngest one is, and I would just, you would just never cross paths normally, so it's lovely. Like, you know, if you're feeling isolated, I always ring people in the choir constantly.
We
speak every day. It's been a real help for me personally.
Of 40 friends, but the thing is, you're from far-flung places. Katrina, you're from Northumberland, and Ben, you're from what, East Anglia,
Cambridgeshire,
in the Fens, beautiful part of the world. Will, you're down here in the southwest. What have you learned coming together with a bunch of farmers? Given I know you live in a rural idyll here.
The first thing that I've learned is always work with farmers because they are brilliant. They turn up on time. They've got everything that you've asked them to do ready. They're always early. They're just a brilliant bunch to work with, you know. And what we've sort of started doing is obviously got much bigger than we are now.
Yeah.
You know, we've started with this idea, and this idea's actually gone onto the national stage now. And we've had, you know, quite a big impact amongst the farming community. I mean, we did a show last week at the Royal Welsh, which I've never been to, and a lot of the other guys have never been to, and it was incredible. And the reception that we got in the main ring from about 10,000 people was astounding.
Is that because you won prize bull?
You're at the wrong one. I've got to be careful what I say.
No, but in all seriousness, you're going around some of these agricultural shows which take place annually, and you're meeting people and getting...
Well, we're representing their community.
Yeah,
we're representing the farming community. We're representing the countryside and the rural communities. And, you know, it's not just farmers that are isolated. There are other jobs as well. And we're just sort of trying to shine this light. And I think people have got that, and they're so behind us now.
Yeah.
You know, they're so behind us that it's just... It's wonderful to sort of stand back and watch all this going on, and the sort of like almost like heroes reception that they got in Wales, you know, was just incredible.
Is it helpful or a hindrance that the celebrity farmer in the shape of Jeremy Clarkson is part of this, or by your side, or out front, or wherever you place him? Is he taking a back seat? What's the positioning around that?
Just to go back to Jeremy Clarkson, he's done more for British agriculture than I think anybody has. So to have him
Genuinely,
in our corner...
Even with that TV programme.
Yes, so to have him in our corner
that
means
TV
everything.
That TV programme is what has done it.
That
is one of the biggest programmes now on TV, but for a reason, and it's very rare that you get a TV programme that the general public seem to warm to and relate to, as well as the industry that you're trying to represent.
Was there any cynicism coming into this about him?
No, not at all.
You know, if you speak to every farmer, they'll say the same as us.
He's done so much, and it's we feel as farming industry, he has represented us perfectly.
He's given us the opportunity to basically ride on his coattails and tell our story
and what we're
about.
And it's the story, isn't it?
Yeah, because obviously he's highlighted the pressures in farming and how hard farming can be. We're talking about something that not many people talk about in regards to the mental health side of stuff. So to have the opportunity to do that...
There was a little bit around, BGT, they've got Jeremy backing them and all this sort of stuff. But actually, the truth is that the reason we called the Hawksden Farmers Choir is because of the support that Jeremy and Hawkston have given us, we felt it was a mark of respect to put the name in. So we asked them, and they were happy with that. And so it benefits both of us.
Do you think any of this was planned all the way along the line?
I was going to turn into this.
He didn't, no.
I think it was just purely, we've got an idea, let's get a bunch of farmers together, get them to sing a silly, you know, get... I mean, it was fun doing it, you know, and it's very clever the way they do things. You know, they've got a brilliant marketing team, and we did this advert, and it just literally grew from there. It grew from nothing. You know, that's all we thought.
When How did you get involved then? Who contacted you?
Well, I was asked
you?
To put the choir together.
Right.
And so for me, it was just a job.
Yeah.
Turn up, do the shoot, go home, get paid, end of story. But it just has grown into this...
You haven't like had Gareth Malone knocking on the door then?
No, we don't need Gareth Malone. We don't need anyone. Yeah. Well, that sounds really...
No, it sounds very punk, actually.
It is. It's very sort of... You know, the beauty of this is that we've got a choir made up of every type of accent, every level of ability. You know, we've got some incredible singers, and we've got some not so brilliant singers, but still, you know, no one's awful. But that blend of accents, ages and abilities has created something that I've never experienced in my life in a musical setting.
Well, that's interesting, because you've worked across a whole range of different things, and I know that because we know each other.
Yeah.
When you're hearing these voices together, can you tell the dialects? Are you bringing out any sense
this, of... It just has this thing that whenever people hear them sing, they cry.
Yeah.
And for good reasons, not for bad reasons.
I think we really, especially this album.
Do eat, Simon, by the way, folks. I know we're having lunch, so please...
Sorry. Simon has the lyrics in it. Oh my gosh, they really mean so much. And well, my favourite song is about a song. It is about it relates to the people at home, like I was saying before, the farmers' wives, as it were, people that hold everything else together. And it gets me every time. And I'm actually lucky enough. Simon's put me on a little trio part of it. And it really, I couldn't stop crying. I'm not a crier at all. I would class myself as quite stoic, quite removed. I don't really like showing my emotions, but being part of this choir has done something to me, and I feel like
done something to everyone. Yeah, everyone cries.
Yeah. You know, and it's really like crying or getting goosebumps constantly.
It's literally like therapy.
Yeah, music is therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. It raises your serotonin levels when you're singing.
It's got to the point where, you know, someone's crying and everyone's like, oh, yeah. You know.
Crying.
Whereas before it'd be like, oh, are you okay? It's like, yeah, it's just, you know, the lyrics. And but now it's brilliant because no one feels like they can't show their emotion.
Yeah.
And that's why we get amazing performances out of them, because no one holds back.
Right.
No one feels like, you know, I think when we first got together, there was a lot of imposter syndrome going on amongst a lot of them.
Yeah.
Including, I know Ben was one of those.
Yeah.
But now you watch Ben up there and you will see him belting it out with the biggest smile on his face.
I had to do a solo at the Royal Welsh.
Yeah,
I was obviously Simon asked me to do a solo, but I just didn't know how I was going to react. You don't know if you get up in front of 10,000 people whether anything's even going to come out, whether you forget the words. And luckily, it was good. So, it's just been a... Yeah.
And there's solos, people having solos on this album as well.
And they're just... And everybody's so supportive of one another. I actually don't feel like we're friends anymore. I feel like we're family. And we looked around at the end of last week and we'd done sort of three quarters of the album. And we had this really special moment where we just sort of were listening to the bits we'd done. And it wasn't planned, it wasn't scripted, and I've never felt like that before. It was the sense of pride for doing... The thing is, we're not just doing it for ourselves. It's one thing, obviously it's great to do it for personal reasons, but we're doing this for a whole community.
Turning moments into love.
all know somebody that has taken their own lives and in the agricultural community.
That's a tough thing to say,
well, just the week between, we went on in the semi-finals and it was 7 days till the final. And in my community alone, which is quite a small community, two people in agriculture took their own life. Two, and that's in my small community.
We did a show for it's a farming show, Cereals, which is, you know, you only go there if you're a farmer, because it's all about agriculture and stuff like that. And we did a surprise guest performance there, and I will never forget, you know, the reception was brilliant. But after we finished and everyone was sort of like slowly meandering away, this big burly young farmer came up. And he said, I tried to kill myself about 6 or 7 years ago.
He tried.
He tried, and luckily was saved. And he said, and recently I've gone back to that place again. And he said, but I was looking at your social media and I saw a post that one of your farmers had put up talking about the struggles and how talking to people. And he said, for the first time in his life, he went to his friends and he opened up to them. And he said it completely changed him. And that, in a nutshell, is what this choir is. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
And we get messages all the time from people. Like, people that are proud, people that are going through stuff. And I feel that there's a responsibility to reply.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but the whole point is provoking conversation. I think we're going to do mental health training as a choir, which I think will be super important, because there's quite a lot of pressure
we're not professionals.
No, in terms of how to talk to people when they contact you.
And you have to reply as well.
You have to get it right. You know,
you can't just make it up.
Yeah.
No. And showing that empathy at the start as well, being empathetic.
I think there's a big stigma about not feeling okay. Yeah. Not just in farming, just in mental health in general, and that's the issue.
Yeah.
That if you broke your arm, very visible, you can see that you've got a broken arm or a broken leg, and people can empathise with that. And I think mental health isn't like that for some reason, and I think it's a very outdated opinion, and we need to change that. And
it's hidden, and it's still a brain injury.
Of course it is, yeah, and you can't see it. They are embarrassed, and because you can't see it, they think it's not there, and you get silly things, especially in agriculture, like you get people's man up or some silly comment along those lines, and people think that that's what they need to do, just snap out of it. That's just not the case, isn't it?
Or medicate, you know, with drink. Yeah. You know, you hear about young farmers together having a great time and all of that, but actually that can take hold, can't it, in a different way?
I do think we're making a difference, though. Like, some of the people that work for us are very old school, you know, they don't talk about their feelings, and they've opened up to me.
And these are older people.
These are like people that are like 60, 70, but have never opened up to anybody, and I'm sitting on a tractor talking to them about how isolating our industry can be, which is just like mental. You would have never thought that would have even happened.
So in terms of this album, how have you got to the point where you're recording, this is original material you're recording?
Yeah, Simon
has written all of it? Have you written all of it?
I've written all of them, yeah.
And they're so good as well.
I didn't think we were going to beat This Is Home, but I think we have. Maybe a couple of songs. Honestly, you cannot get them out of your head.
But they also mean so much to all of us, because obviously Simon's written them with us in mind. And you listen to the lyrics, there was, you know, we were learning the songs, just the melodies, and, you know, you weren't really paying attention to the lyrics. And as soon as you start to learn them, and as soon as you start to hear the lyrics, honestly, I was getting goosebumps literally constantly. It's another level.
Yeah.
So
we're very lucky to have you, Simon.
Are we here because Jeremy Clarkson or Simon Cowell or BMG Records turned around and said, right, I want you in the studio from Monday to record an album. And
no.
Did it happen like that?
No. So I've always had this thing.
That was my
thing.
Clarkson impression, by the way.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. I've always had this idea that, you know, the traditional way of doing records, it has changed a lot over the years, you know, especially in recent years. And I just feel like there's another way of doing things. And we're fortunate enough to have won BGT and have won the money. And other than, you know, the donation we're going to give to charity, we've decided that we want to do this ourselves, so we keep control of everything. And then, you know, we've got a great team
outside.
Some
of the winnings funding it, because
And we've got a great team outside of that, and we've got Hawkston helping us as well. You know, they're very much in the background, but they're such a support to us. And we're just doing it all ourselves, so we own everything and we can make our own choices. And we've got some really good people in good places to sort of, you know, push it forward.
I mean, when will it be available?
I think around September, hopefully. Not all of it, but we're hoping to have...
Yeah, I mean, I think the album, hopefully, beginning of October, and before that, a single. And, yeah, it's going to be... it's very exciting because, you know, we've got two songs left to record, and they are just sounding so good. And what surprised me as well is because some of the songs that I've written are quite tricky, and I knew the choir were going to smash it, but it's like lead vocals. And all along, since this journey began, I've always felt like the whole thing was unstoppable.
Yeah.
Because every time we needed something, it appeared and it happened. And so it's like, you know, here there's two or three songs where it's like, really need this sort of voice on it, and we haven't got that. And one of the choir members who's part of the 40 but couldn't make BGT has come back in, and she's filled that void.
And she fits it.
She filled that void. So then other people have stepped up to the mark, and you're like, oh wow. You know, people that haven't sung solos in the choir before.
Is it meeting your expectations the way it's turning out?
It's way past. It's way past. I knew it was going to sound good. I knew it was going to sound great. But this is just. I mean, I know I would say it, but it feels quite special.
I take it Peter Gabriel hasn't dropped in, has he?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't dropped in.
He was at WOMAD.
I did walk past him at WOMAD, but I've had a few.
But you're using his studio here in Box. It's a beautiful setting. It's one of the most amazing rooms.
Well, amazing. Ironically, I've never ever, obviously, and Ben will be the same, we've never been in a studio. Or, well, yeah. You maybe did to
I did
start
one advert
with
one advert. With your
I've not been in a studio in my life, ever. And this is the first studio I've ever been in.
What did you make of that?
I couldn't. As soon as you went in, it wasn't what it looked like. It was how it sounded.
Mm,
you walk in, and I have never experienced. You can't put into words how it sounds in there.
Yeah,
it's got this incredible feeling about it. It's a feeling more than anything else.
Okay.
Something I will never forget.
What kind of feeling?
It's literally, it's like from the inside out, you feel, it's like a calming, peaceful, serene feeling that it almost feels magical. Mm. I can't describe it, but like I said, words won't describe it. It is genuinely a feeling that you get, but like it is from the inside out.
That's Katrina describing Control Room 1. Studio One.
The big room.
The big room.
I have been told, because we've got Stuart Bruce is our engineer, he's amazing, and he's actually recorded probably the most famous choir of all time, which would be Live Aid. So when you watch the Live Aid video and you see the guy in the cap at the desk, that's our Stuart.
Sorry. Do you mean the studio recording Do They Know It's Christmas?
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
Yeah.
So, and he sort of like knows everything about everything. So he started to tell me about when they built this place, they built the air conditioning. Normally air conditioning is made of steel or whatever metal, I'm not. And it gives off, it gives off positive ions.
Oh.
Whereas the air conditioning in the main studio there is made with wood and clay. And it gives off negative ions.
Negative ions are good for you. Positive ions are...
And so the air... And honest to God, it does feel like when you walk in that you're walking in somewhere, you feel really healthy.
Mm.
And when you come out at the end of a really long day...
So the air's different.
Yeah. And when you come out at the end of the day, you don't feel the way I've felt coming out of studios, you know, all my life. It just feels invigorating.
You know waterfalls? Because I know a little bit. Negative ions are... they are emitted by waterfalls. It's like a... You know that... feeling that if you were to stand next to the waterfall, that sort of serene, magical, that is a similar feeling you get without the noise, obviously, in there.
Extraordinary.
And it comes across in the music. And, I can see why so many incredible artists have recorded so much incredible music here, because it's being designed, obviously, by musicians and people that know what's important. So for us to have the honour of recording here is amazing. Because, I live just around the corner, and the last time I recorded here was, I think, 1987.
Back then, that was
So,
now,
before I was born.
You've got... well said, Katrina. You've got a Royal Variety performance.
We have.
Yeah. And when's that?
November.
20th of November?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And National Television Awards. Are there lots of other celebrity appearances?
We can't give you all our secrets away. We've got to save a few back for ourselves.
So there's going to be some really exciting stuff coming up. We're going to be playing at the Bath Forum.
Oh, when's that?
Beginning of next year.
That's great.
There's a scoop, because no one knows that.
No, I don't know. We don't even know that yet.
Breaking news.
You said, when's that? I'm like, yeah, when is that?
Bath Forum, beginning of next year. Yeah. We'll be there. That's beautiful venue. But how are you feeling about the Royal Variety? Do you know which Royal you're going to get?
The rumour is that it may be the King.
We're hopeful.
We hope it's the King.
We're hopeful
that it's the King. We hope it's the King. Obviously, it's a real honour to do something like that. And I couldn't think of a better suited act than British farmers singing in front of the King, really.
I feel that they support us so much, and farming is the backbone of Britain, and what could be better suited to that sort of performance than a farmer's choir? That we're not perfect, we are ordinary people, that this isn't our day jobs, but we are so passionate about it. This is much more than just us, much more than the 40 people. We're doing it for a much bigger cause of agriculture and mental health. I just think they would really appreciate us performing that.
I think they will.
The one thing that I've found incredible about this whole journey so far is with the BGT thing, you know, there comes a level of fame, and there's also the money and winning and stuff like that. There was no point at which anyone in the choir spoke about being on TV or about winning the money or anything like that. It was let's get this out there, let's do this for the farmers, however far we go. So it was never, there was never any mention of, like, you
so
know,
there's no emerging ego then.
No.
And you seem to have well managed it now.
Well, apart from these
two.
Yeah.
But we feel like we're doing it for a bigger community, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's more than us now. Yeah. But it's been like that since we got the Golden Buzzer.
I mean, don't get us wrong, we enjoy it.
Yeah, of course.
You must have loved the Golden Buzzer, man.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Your hearts must have been beating out your chest.
But literally, as I said at the very last sentence, I was like, this is for the farmers. That's what I remember saying. Because I didn't plan anything, but it just sort of, I was like, this is for the farmers. And that is genuinely what we wanted to do. The thing with farming is, it's not a job. It is not a job. It is, and I've got three children, two boys and a girl. And my boys, it's not a job to them. It runs through their veins. It is in their blood.
So they want to do it, don't they?
Want isn't even in it. It's gone generations past, and it's where we live. It's where my children live. It's where my grandchildren will hopefully live, and it's something that they are so incredibly passionate and proud of their dad for. And I did a video with my 8-year-old son, and he was so, it was so lovely to hear him speak about how he viewed farming. One thing is that it came across that it's such a stressful job. He said, dad's always really stressed, but I'm so proud of my dad and I want to be just like him when I grow up. It's not a choice, it is in their blood, it's in their bones, it's what they dream of, it was what they think of all the time. They play farms, they go out with him. It's more than that.
It's just a generational thing. Yeah. Like, I'm a fourth generation farmer. I'm basically a caretaker of our land, you know. Like, I just want to leave the land in a better condition than I found it in. Hopefully inspire my daughter to be a farmer as well. But at the moment, I'm not on the right track. She wasn't going to sing it. So
she's
still doing one of
those. Now she's seen dad on TV. That's what she wants to do. You've ruined her.
Yeah. She's now saying, dad, I want to do both.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, you can do both. Look at me.
Exactly.
So what will the album be called?
Ooh.
This is,
we, will this it be called? This
is ask me. I'll tell you.
What's it going to be called?
We've got to leave something to them.
We don't know yet, Dave. We don't know. But I'm sure when we do, you might find out quite quickly.
Let me know first.
I'll give you the scoop.
Thank you so much. You've given us a few today. This is a break in recording, and you've got to go back in there. What are you doing this afternoon?
We are doing our second to last song, and we're doing some solos, and also we've got a photographer coming to take some shots.
And you've got a BGT song, This Is Home, tomorrow to record, I understand.
Yeah,
right?
We'll have to record that tomorrow.
Yeah. And,
that's slightly different to what we had on BGT, though.
Yeah.
That was a shorter version, so you're going to get extra on the actual.
Slightly different.
Yeah, we were only allowed 2 minutes on BGT.
So, well, there's more to come.
We look forward to hearing your solos, and hopefully this isn't the only album. Hopefully you do many more.
Fingers crossed.
Oh, no,
fingers crossed.
Get people to buy it when they're...
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not just going to be on Spotify.
It will be a hard copy.
Physical. Yeah. And
we'll come to you when it's released and give it a good
moment. Real proud moment. That'd be literally my proudest moment, is when I can give them a CD and they can listen. We can listen to it together at home on a CD player.
Yeah. And stream it in the tractor. Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank you all very much for speaking to us here on Radio Bath.
Thank you.
And good luck with the rest of the recording this summer.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Cheers.